Welcome to ATS Mix.
I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
Did you get your script?
God bless America.
Did you get your script?
How am I doing? Am I going to carry this thing alone?
Yeah, I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, whether right or wrong, we give you episode 16.
Hey, John, what we'll do is when we start this thing, you start it with that thing, and then John and I'll just start humming in the background.
Okay.
But don't read the whole damn thing, Christ.
No, I'll just read the first six paragraphs.
All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Rabbit.
And this is Johnny Anonymous.
And we've got a real treat for you today. And that treat is the recap of the Bay Area UFO Expo for 2007 that we recently had the pleasure of these two gentlemen that we're going to incorporate in this particular recap, Mr. John Lear and Mr. Mark, a.k.a. Springer. And at this time, we'd like to say hello to John Lear. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. We are here to honor a truly great American, mm-hmm. John Lear. And I would like to remind you that on August 2nd, 2007, in the halls of the House of Representatives of the United States of America, the Honorable Loretta A. Sanchez paid tribute to John and his fellow pilots of Continental Air Services, Inc. with his speech. Madam Speaker, I rise today to recognize a group of Americans who should have been honored years ago for their service and sacrifice to the United States during the Vietnam War. For a period of 10 dangerous years, between 1965 and 1975, over 260 pilots and ground crew members flew over regions in Southeast Asia. They were the Continental Air Services, Inc. personnel. God bless America. Land that I love.
Stand beside her.
And guide her.
With the right and the light
shines above.
From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean.
White with foam.
God bless America.
My home, sweet home.
God bless America.
My home, sweet home.
Come on, I've been carrying this for 6 minutes. You guys haven't said a word yet. What's going on here?
We're talking about an interview going south, especially when all of us are about a 3 second delay from each other. Boy, that will be fun for Felix and Cat.
Hi, I'm John Lear. Nice to meet you.
I'm John Lear.
Hi, I'm John Lear.
And I'm John Lear. It's really nice to be here.
You know, I've heard of people being schizophrenic, but this is incredible.
Yeah,
I can hear the voices.
Schizophrenians. I know there's schizophrenians, but I thought it would be a nice attempt. Okay.
You know, I heard there was another guy in this interview.
There is, John Lear.
Who is that other guy?
John Lear.
John Lear.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the only interview person. And by the way, I'm John Lear, and what we're going to do now is we're going to recap John Lear's weekend at the UFO Expo. And I'd like to just kind of give us fictitious names just so it's simple, so we know which John Lear we're talking to. So the John Lear that's from Oklahoma, we will call for this purposes only Springer. And the John
How you doing,
Lear,
guys?
And the John Lear that's in California, still protesting out there for the UFO convention city, is the John Lear, a.k.a. Johnny Anonymous.
How you doing?
The John Lear from Dallas, Texas, the Dave Aru. And then, of course, we have the real John Lear, a.k.a. John Lear. Okay.
So this is I want to contest that. I'm the real John Lear.
I'm the John Lear. Okay, here
I'm
we go.
John Lear.
And I tell you, folks, if you think this is going to get nerve-wracking, you
Hey, John, you think I'm more John Lear than Dave, don't you?
I'm telling you, we introduced ourselves to everybody as John Lear. There were people coming
can
up to
I,
the table.
Can I say something? Can I say something?
No. I said, no.
Let me just say this. Let me just say this. I have never sat anywhere where I saw so many damn Johns.
There you go.
Yeah, except on maybe Hollywood Boulevard.
And a police raid. And a police raid. One of the things that we wanted to do here in our recap was that a lot of our members and listeners wanted to express interest and concerns as how this all came about. How did we get here to the expo? And I know what our end of it is, but I know John Lear, the real John Lear, had an interesting adventure getting to the expo. John, could you tell us a little bit about what happened on your way from Las Vegas to here?
Well, I left
Nevada?
I left Vegas on Wednesday to get up to get up to Reno because I had inadvertently accepted to speak at the UFO Expo before I found out that the reunion for the China Post One American Legion, of which I'm senior vice commander, was on Saturday night. So I had leave a day early to get up there Thursday so that I could sit and have a drink with my fellow war heroes in Reno before I launched for the UFO Expo. So I got there Wednesday night and spent Thursday with my friends, and then Friday I'm ready to launch, and the radiator starts leaking massive amounts of fluid. And at the last minute, so that, you know, I wasn't late to San Francisco, I had to get all the stuff out of my car into my daughter's car, who I traded cars with. And I mean, we're talking about there was 380 tinfoil hats. There was all kinds of posters, CDs, everything. I mean, it took us forever.
ATS T-shirts.
Yeah, ATS T-shirts and
beauty sashes.
Beauty sashes.
I finally got on my way, and as usual, it was an incredibly boring drive from Reno into San Jose. I got there, checked into the hotel, met my daughter, and then started hooking up with everybody. We went to the there was a little dinner that night. It was a fundraising event, and it was kind of a meet the speakerness, and as usual, they had absolutely the worst food I've ever tasted in my life.
Oh my God.
Nobody really goes there to eat. We pay the $30 to be able to mix with each other and tell each other what great people we are, which is why I was there and what I did there. And Johnny Anonymous was there, and my good friend Dave Rabbit, and Mark Allen, and that night we...
I'm not your good friend. Springer's not John Lear has made a statement that Springer's not his good friend. Only Dave and Johnny are John Lear's good friend.
He didn't say that.
We appreciate that. Love you, man.
Saturday.
Somebody let him know what we're doing.
Saturday morning we got up at 7:30 because we had to put the tables together, get all the equipment going. Mark was supposed to arrange for a webcam, which he failed miserably in doing.
And we were going to use that for the beauty pageant, weren't we, John?
Yeah. And we got the CDs up, and everything was great. And we finally got rolling here about 9 o'clock, and did a few interviews. I have to say, you know, one of the highlights of the day, as a matter of fact, one of the highlights of the whole weekend, was John Lear interviewing himself.
I love that.
Yeah.
John Lear.
He sit there at the table with his microphone that we had that Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit had hooked up, and it was blasting all over the auditorium. He'd sit there in his own reverie and interview himself, and people would come over and they'd ask, you know, Mark, they'd say, who is that? And Mark would say, John Lear. And they'd say, well, who's he interviewing? And Mark would say, John Lear. And they'd get the weirdest looks in their face. They could not understand.
But they listened, didn't they?
What was going on?
Wait a minute. Now let's back up a tad. Now, Friday there were some interesting things that happened after we arrived. So I want to rewind to Friday night.
Can we hold off just one second there, Dave? If I can, I rarely do a sidebar, but even before we go there.
I love a sidebar.
On John's trip after he was having some radiator problems.
That's what we were trying to get him to do.
He was passing through Hayward, and he was going to stop and take a photograph. And that's the story I want to hear.
There
you go. If you're talking about the pantyhose incident, we all agreed that we were not going to make it. I said it happened. I admit it.
I mean, before the pantyhose.
I'm not trying to get out of this. I'm not a senator from Idaho trying to weasel my way out of something.
I was nowhere near a bathroom stall.
Just for everybody's edification, of course, John drove.
Did you actually say edification?
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
John drove in. Johnny, obviously, he drove from his home in California, which was a couple of hours drive with just a buttload of equipment that John Lear hogged the entire weekend. And then
nicely done too.
And then Springer and I met in Houston, and we flew from Houston together on a 4-hour jaunt to San Jose, which Johnny picked us up and whatever. All right, we get into the hotel. We no sooner walk in the door of the hotel. What time? 3 o'clock Pacific, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was about three.
3 o'clock
yeah.
Pacific time.
Right at 3.
And Johnny says to me, he says, "Hey, I think that was Bo Diddley." I said, "No." What was that guy's name?
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. Says, I think that was Gary Busey. And I said, "Where?" He says, "In the black shirt." And so we all kind of crick our heads around, you know, kind of see. And he goes walking off. So I think, okay, great, you know, because I had said, you know, I really wanted to interview Gary Busey for whatever that would have been worth. Anyway, as we get checked in and everything, and we're kind of just kind of feeling around and whatever, then we get a chance to personally meet the absolutely drop-dead gorgeous Ali Lear. And I have to say from Dave Meister that photograph that was put up about the banner does absolutely no justice to this beautiful young lady. She is an absolute drop-dead dreamboat. And so after we pick Springer up off the floor.
Is that my daughter you're talking about?
And
he's talking about your daughter,
talking
about your daughter. She's drop dead gorgeous. You know she is. I mean, you had those two guys from Italy, you know, Gardner the entire time. John, come on,
Luigi and Mario.
Yeah, Luigi and Mario, and I think they also did a little computer game. So anyway, I want to talk about the Friday night extravaganza. This is after we've all done our little. And we sat in the bar for 2 hours waiting for Gary Busey to come back, which he never did. And I guess I want to go ahead and get this out of my system. You know, I'm dying to do this. Okay. Gary Busey's was promoted to be the singer. He was going to, his band was going to be there. He's going to be doing all this other stuff. And I wanted to interview him. And then, of course, we see the Gary Busey signing. Okay, well, in the course of us sitting there at the bar, having several rounds and eating some snacks before we go to dinner, we start hearing rumors. And some of the rumors we hear, I'll just say one of them, John. You know a couple of the other ones. One of the rumors that we hear is that some young lady that we never did find out whether she worked for the hotel or whatever. And here again, folks, we don't know this is fact. This is simply things that we heard why Gary Busey was not available for my interview. He had potentially grabbed some young lady that had introduced herself earlier to him and proceeded to put his tongue down her throat, California tonsillectomy. I don't know how that stuff works there. And that he was kindly asked by the management of the hotel to leave. And then, of course, the UFO people, extremely embarrassed, had to take him. What was the other thing we had heard, Johnny?
Well, I was just going to mention, since you always refer to California as a foreign country anyway. See, in different countries, they have certain ways of doing a greeting. Our greeting is doing a tonsillectomy. Hi, how you doing? And then you stick your tongue down their throat. Yeah.
I love that part. Okay, well, anyway, so not only did I not get my interview with Gary Busey, not only did I not get to chat with him about the movie that he starred with Steven Seagal, you know, where he dresses up like a lady in the big outfit and whatever, he was nowhere available and was escorted out of the hotel. Okay, that's Friday afternoon. Friday night, the Springer, my bud, puts on this.
Well, at least I'm somebody's friend out of this whole bloody group.
Yeah. Hodge. Congratulations.
They had a steakhouse there in the hotel that absolutely dropped dead. Unbelievable. And the Springer sets up this huge little table for not only our group, which included John Lear, his daughter Allie, Johnny, I, and Springer, but also two of our moderators, Fred T. and is it Mirthful Me?
Mirthful Me.
Mirthful Me. And the neat thing about this was, not only was the food just drop dead great, Mirthful Me and Fred T. are wine connoisseurs. I mean, wine connoisseurs extraordinaire. And they had, what did they say, Johnny? Like 500 bottles that they've collected over 10 years or 20 years or whatever it is?
Well, they are self-proclaimed wine slobs, and they both have been, their wine collection in their cellars have both been photographed and notarized in numerous wine aficionado magazines. So they're very well known in the community, and they had some very, very, very expensive wines.
They are the John Lears of wine.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what they are.
Yeah, and
what Dave is trying to get around to is they brought 100 of those bottles to the table.
And Springer had 97 of them.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not going to.
I did have two great glasses of wine. Those guys really did knock it out of the park. But more importantly, from my perspective than the wine, was Fred T. brought the Springer, the most beautiful bottle of whiskey that a man who enjoys his whiskey can lay his hands on, you know, especially as a surprise. And it was a 17-year-old Eagle Rare. And I just got to say, Fred, I love you, man.
I'm telling you.
I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No, it's no big deal. But it's just, you know, I don't want to embarrass them, but I'm talking, you know, I'm not saying that these guys sit there and went down to their local wine store and picked up a 12-ounce bottle of wine.
Oh, no.
And I don't want this to embarrass them, but I got to tell you, because anybody that doesn't know wine doesn't realize how expensive good quality wines are. They, amongst the two of them, upwards between $2,000 and $3,000 retail. Not what they spent for it when they invested or whatever, but $2,000 to $3,000 retail wine. And not only did they extend their gracious hospitality to everyone at the table, but they had brought some glasses in and their own little canisters and their own little seals, whatever the things are called.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was amazing. And I'm telling you, they told stories about every single wine. And I've learned more about wine, and it's been a long time since I had any wine. I learned more about wine from those two guys during that two-hour, three-hour marathon dinner that we had than I could ever possibly imagine. And just from all of us, Fred T., Mirthful Me, we can't thank you enough, because, boy, that made Friday night for me.
The only thing he didn't learn was that a decanter is not called a canister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
That's okay. He's learned it now, hasn't he?
Yeah, now that we're personal friends, John, now that we're just not, you know, email buddies, now that we're personal friends, yeah, that's right, turn on Dave on the show. Yeah, that's what I like. Okay, so then Friday night, that pretty much ends that, and we're kind of basically helping each other to the rooms. Not that we needed any help, but, I mean, it was just kind of, it was a generous gesture on everyone's part.
Hey, we're all old guys, and we ate too much food.
We had the heavy guts. There you go. All right, now Saturday.
I would just like to add that on that Friday night evening, that extravaganza, I had a potato that I've never seen. This thing was the size of a football. I didn't know potatoes could grow that big. It was huge. It was a meal in itself.
And the steaks were huge.
Yeah. The steaks were decent. I got to say that for a DoubleTree Hotel, having a Spencer's Chop House and steaks, so obviously they think that, you know, they're preparing the greatest steak in the world, or at least they should be attempting to prepare the greatest steak in the world, especially at those prices.
Right.
But they failed miserably on the porterhouse that I had. I think I took 9 bites out of the thing, and it was a sloppy cut. It was a poor cooked job. I mean, the whole deal. And I point this out for the benefit of Cracker who is one of our moderators and actually the controller of the Above Network LLC, the parent company of AboveTopSecret.com, who is bringing you this nightmare of a podcast, I should add. Crackers, like myself, is a steak connoisseur. Mm. And I got to tell you that Spencer's has a lot of work to do on really having the gall to put Chop House up under their name in that hotel. And I just wanted to interject that in the hope that, you know, quality will improve in the future.
I love that. I'm sure they're going to be very excited about hearing your review.
Yeah.
What was your...
Go
ahead, John.
I'd just like to point out that when Springer was doing all this, he was sitting cross-legged on the floor.
I wasn't going to go there, John. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny, would you like to conduct Saturday?
Okay, so we've got me thrown under the bus, Dave thrown under the bus, Lear and Anonymous. Hang on, boys.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, conduct.
Well, you don't. Here's what you guys don't understand. John Lear is driving the bus.
And we're the tires.
I'm protecting
myself. So let's go to Saturday. Saturday.
Johnny, you conduct Saturday.
You know what? Here, no, I think we should let our guests that we have on here, our listeners want to hear our guests. They've been hearing Johnny and Dave here talk.
Okay.
I think let's turn it over to Springer. And we already know that John Lear can conduct a wonderful interview with John Lear. So we know that part's handled.
All right,
so
Mark,
Springer.
You take Saturday.
Take the reins, John.
Why don't you take Sunday and then we'll do our wrap.
I think we should do a roundtable interview and let Springer do a little interviewing, and then we'll let John Lear do a little interviewing.
Good. All right. Then Johnny and I will shut up. Mark, take over. You're on Saturday, boy.
John,
nice to see you. Come on over. Hey, listen, I've been a fan of yours for many, many years. You're just the greatest guy that I know. You know, I used to sit up till 3 o'clock in the morning and listen to Art Bell, and those stories you used to tell were absolutely fantastic. Hey, thanks. You know, I had a lot of fun working with Art over the years.
But John Lear's better than Art, isn't he?
Better looking, too.
I'm going to have an email from Art Bell, guaranteed, the night this podcast airs.
Yeah.
Mark,
what the hell is this?
Guys didn't catch that.
Actually, you know what? Art is so cool. He'd love it. But we know another guy who may send us an email. But in any case, beside the point, Saturday was an absolutely amazing awakening for me. Not only as a businessman who's you know, trying to build an ethical media company, God, that'd be a first, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Really.
And you know, as the guy who has never had the amazing experience of seeing a UFO, but is utterly supportive of, and I put my money where my mouth is, of the UFO community. You know, and the people that are into it, and the people that have had experiences, to the point that our site, you know what, if you can abide by our terms and conditions, you can share your experience here and know that millions of people are going to see it at AboveTopSecret.com. So, for me, Saturday was an awakening. I had never been to a UFO convention in my whole life, never been to one. And I've been, you know, 20 years creating sandboxes, if you will, on the Internet, for people that have had experiences and experts in the field like John Lear and many others to have a venue or a bully pulpit from which to speak to millions of people all over the world via the Internet. So when we sat down to lunch with John Rhodes, all right, that name, I want everybody listening to this to remember the name John Rhodes. This guy is, I think, in my personal opinion, going to have a major impact on humanity, not just the UFO community, not just you know, the fringe. I think that before John Rhodes' days are done, I think John Rhodes will not only be a household name, I think that John Rhodes will have really had a major impact on the sanity of the collective, you know, group that we know as humanity. At least I sure as hell hope so. And well,
I just want to say I was the one that brought him to the table.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right.
Yeah, I heard that he was going to be your running mate for president there, John Lear.
God, I hope he is. You know, I have nothing but great things to say about John Rhodes, and I talked to Skeptic Overlord, at length about John Rhodes, and I have Skeptic Overlord excited about John Rhodes. Now, let's all think about that for a minute.
Yeah. That's hard to do. That's hard to do.
Well, that's hard to imagine.
Well, while we're on the John Rhodes thing, I mean, and I don't want to go into things that we're going to put up when we do the John Rhodes Lunch Chat interview, because there's, you know, that would spoil it for people when they hear that interview. But I got to say this. What started out to be an interview that was going to be fun to do, not that it wasn't fun to do, but more of a fun kind of thing, Lunch Chat with John Rhodes, turned into an unbelievable experience that I will never forget the rest of my life.
That's what I'm talking about.
It was that much of an impact.
John Lear, you've known John Rhodes for how long?
15 years, right?
15 years. You know, is this guy, I mean,
the
is he
real
in touch?
Deal, baby.
Huh?
He's the real deal.
He is. He is the real deal. I mean, I've got so many plans cooking right now that center around John Rhodes that I can't even begin to get into them. But I'm telling you now that if our company, the Above Network LLC, and the funding that we have and the business plan that we have and the execution that we're pulling off, if we can do half of what we think we can do, and we're already ahead of plan and we're under budget and over projected income, so we're doing great. If we can continue this track, I want to say it right here, right now, that it will be in my top 10 projects, in my top 10 missions as Chief Operating Officer of the Above Network LLC, to make sure that John Rhodes gets heard by everybody that is willing to listen. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I'd like to know, John, because we're going to be turning it over to you, how actually did you come in contact with John Rhodes? How did you meet him?
Boy, you know, I was going to ask John if he remembered. I can remember going back to... he was here in Las Vegas. I'm not sure whether we ran into each other at some kind of reunion. I believe it started with Continental Air Services, and his father was an Air America pilot. And I think we ran into each other in that connection. And he had an interest in this field, and we got together. We've just been friends for years.
That's great, incredible. Now
I want to say this, it was true, not only an honor to bring him to the table, but for my friends, Mark Allen, Johnny Anonymous, and Dave Rabbit to get it. That was what was spectacular.
Oh,
they got it.
Hey, let me tell you something.
That was,
you know, I'm the biggest skeptic on this. I'm the biggest skeptic on this damn phone right now, and I got it. That guy has something.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing where you sit there. And I mean, I was looking around the table when we were sitting there listening to him. And I mean, of course, it was somewhat loud around us, but you could have really heard a pin drop at our table, because we were all so absorbed and hanging on every word that John Rhodes said.
Yeah.
And you know, there was so much information that was passed and life experiences that we're not really at liberty to talk about. And I thought, It was probably one of the singular most incredible lunches that I'd had at any of the expos that I've been into in the past. So I was, John, I just want to thank you again for inviting us to be able to sit down at that table with you and John Rhodes.
As I say, it was my honor and my pleasure.
Well, the great thing about it is that Springer picked up the check.
Well, I'm willing to say that I have had lunches with diplomats, statesmen. I've had lunches with movie stars. I've had lunches with some of the biggest names in the biggest industries, and I'm willing to say right now that is in the top five lunches I've ever had in my life. Regardless, I mean, I've never been to a UFO convention, so forget that limiting factor. This was one of the most unbelievable lunches I've had in my 44 years. That's the impact that John Rhodes had on me.
The ATS Mix. Hey, part two is just waiting for you. So go download ATS Mix, episode 16, part 2, from AboveTopSecret.com.